you, Luke. Good morning, everybody. So I get for leaving my jacket up there. It's good to see everyone today. Everyone's hiding in the back. You know, there are plenty of seats up front. You guys don't have to sit in the back all the time. I promise I don't bite. Probably not. Ask Rachel. But it is good to see everybody today. We are going to continue our lesson into the ethic and moral dilemmas that we face as Christians. But before we get there today, I want to talk about two things. The first one is that this is a very important week for us. You guys know what this week represents? This week represents why we're all here. Nobody in this room, maybe not even in this city, would probably be here if it wasn't for what Jesus did this week. And I want you, I'm going to give you all a homework assignment. I'm not going to collect this, so you don't have to worry. And no one's going to hold you accountable to it. But to reflect back on what Jesus actually went through this week as we prepare to go into Easter Sunday. The second thing I want to say, less important but still important nonetheless, is every Easter represents something else for this church in particular, besides the honoring of what Jesus did on the cross, but it also represents what our children are doing. This is LTC week for our kids, and they've been working very, very hard. We've got song leading, we've got lessons, we've got art projects, we got puppets. Oh, what else we got, Amber? What am I missing? Yeah, they've all been reading through Genesis Bible Bowl, and they are going to present this stuff this Wednesday at 6:30. So please come out and support our youth and show them how much you love them. It would be a great way to encourage them. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross, that as we look towards the events of what happened this week, Lord, that we never forget the reason why we're here, to fellowship and worship you. As we move through your lesson today and study your word, we ask you to open our hearts and minds for what it has to teach us. In your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. All right, so the third lesson in this series is about, is the opposite of what we talked about last week. Do you guys remember what we talked about last week? What was that? Life? Some of you were asleep. Yes, we talked about life. But today we're going to talk about the opposite of that, and that is death. You know, death is a little bit scary. I mean, people talk about death, and they tend to be afraid of it. Some people say, well, I'm afraid of spiders. I'm afraid of snakes. I'm afraid of the dark. But if you were to compile a list of things that people said that they were most afraid of, almost always in the top five, people list death. Is anybody in this room afraid of death? Does it scare them in any way? Few of you? And that's okay. I mean, we know we have assurance in Christ. And I'm not necessarily talking about that. Just because you have that assurance doesn't necessarily mean that death is going to go away. The problem with death is it's the only thing in life that is absolutely certain. You may be rich. You may be poor. You may get married. You may have kids. You may not have any of those things. You may grow up in one of the best countries in the world, or you may grow up in one of the worst countries in the world. There is no promise in anything that we have that this world is going to give us, except for the fact we're going to die. This promise is inevitable. At some point, everybody is going to be confronted with this issue because it happens every single year, every single hour, every single month, and it comes down to about every single 1.8 seconds. Someone, somewhere in the world is going to die. Has anybody here not experienced a death in their life? Everybody has, because we know it's going to happen. Now, people are afraid of it because they're age. Young people tend to be more afraid of death than the younger ones. Some people are afraid of it because of their beliefs. And maybe for some of you, that was one of the reasons you first came to Christ. He's like, I don't want to go to hell when I die. And so you're a little bit afraid. Maybe some of you don't like it because you lost someone you love, or you experienced danger. Has anybody been in a near life and death experience? Ever been shot at? Yeah. That does tend to put life in a whole new perspective. Maybe your health is not good. Or maybe you're just afraid to give up the attachments of life. But whatever reason you are afraid, well, we know that as Christians, we have God's comfort. Death is something that maybe God didn't intend. And so when we look back to our original framework, we see that death is very much the result of sin and decay that comes in the world. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 says this. Paul says this in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So maybe God intended for us to always have life, and we know as we move on from this world into the next, we will still have life, but we're going to experience that death because of the results of sin. But didn't God defeat sin? You guys remember that? God defeated sin on the cross. We're going to honor that this week. So why do we still die? Well, yeah, well, God did defeat sin, but just because sin is, God has got victory over sin doesn't mean we still see the effects of sin. If God completely destroys sin in the world, then we wouldn't be capable of sinning after we experience God's grace. So that's why death is still in the world, because there's still the decay and the after effects of sin. The difference is that we don't suffer that penalty. And we do know that death will ultimately be defeated, as what Luke just read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, towards the end of verse 26. But I also want you to understand that death is also not a punishment. Does anybody feel like death is a punishment? I mean, it's an inevitability, but it's not a punishment. For us, it is just a phase of moving on to the next life. It is essentially that one act, and though, yeah, it's probably not a very pleasant act, for some people it could be. It could happen in their sleep. Some people it could happen in a lot of agony. But for us, we know it's just the next step to going closer to God in this world. And this is very much a broken world, and death is not the only thing, the outcome of that brokenness. So our sickness, flood, flood, earthquakes, pretty much anything else you can imagine. And we as Christians can use death as an opportunity to honor Christ. And that's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, is that he hopes that in his death he is able to give honor to God. Now, do we deserve death? Do we deserve heaven? No, we don't. I think this kind of makes people uncomfortable. Yes, I'm going to heaven. I get to be in heaven someday, but you certainly don't deserve it. Nobody here deserves it. That's why Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, what then, are the Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we have already changed that all, both Jew, Greek, American, African, Chinese, doesn't matter. I mean, he's just using generic terms here. No one is righteous. No, not one. So we all, even though we will all experience death, we don't deserve the effects of what happens next in the next life. But fortunately for us, we know that God's not fair. God decides in this moment of this part of year that he was going to intervene on our behalf so we could go be with him in heaven. What's the alternative to that? Well, the alternative to that is God doesn't intervene, and heaven's a very lonely place. There's God, there's Jesus, and there's his angels, and then no one else. So maybe God wants company, I don't know. But God definitely wants us to go to heaven, and so he intervened on our behalf for us to get there. So what happens when we die? Well, we die, when we die, our bodies continue to decay, but we ourselves, depending on whether or not we believe in God or not, either experience judgment. Yeah, we're all going to experience judgment, and then we get to go to heaven. Does that mean the non-believers, the ones that are also going to I feel like I'm going too fast. I'm going to try to slow down, guys. Take a deep breath. Okay. Does that mean that non-believers deserve to go to hell? That doesn't seem fair either, but yes. Yes, they do. But not because I'm being mean to the non-believers, not because I want the non-believers to go to hell, but they deserve to go to hell for the same reason the believers deserve to go to hell, because everyone sins and falls short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if by the world's standards you are the best person in the world. Would you agree that you're a good person by the world's standards? Yeah, I would like to say that I think I'm a good person by the world's standards. God's standard for good is not mine. It's not by any standard that we have here. And so I'm so glad that God intervenes on our behalf. He says, you know what? I'm going to make things easy for you. I'm not going to have this standard of good or bad. I'm going to say, if you want to go to heaven, here's a free gift. Here's the way to do it. All I'm asking is that you believe in me and repent of your sins and are baptized. That's all you have to do. That's the easy part. All you got to do is accept that. But so many people choose not to. And they know, and so we know as a result, they are going to go to hell. And all these things play into our understanding of death and the questions that come up and arise among death. So let's look at some of these questions. Number one, this one I think is the easy one. I'm going to start off easy. Is it okay to honor death? Is it okay to celebrate death? Is it okay to have funerals or something along those likes? And I think the answer is very, very simple. The answer is yes. Go ahead. Do it. It's important to honor death, especially in the way we look at honoring life. John chapter 11, Jesus attends a funeral. He attends the funeral of what we expect to be a very good friend of his, Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. And in chapter 11, verse 35, there are two words that are said. You know what those two words that are said? Jesus wept. Did he weep because his friend died? Maybe, but that's not what the text says he did. It said he wept because he saw the compassion of the crowd. He saw how much that this man meant to the people in the crowd. And so he wept because he had compassion for them. Grief is a natural part of loss. And so what Jesus is emphasizing here is it's okay to grieve. It's okay to have compassion. Especially we know when those people are going to heaven, because our compassion for them is not that they died, but our compassion is the loss that we are experiencing in the moment because of how much we love them and how much we're going to have joy when we're united with them again. We see this also emphasized in Acts chapter 8, when Stephen, after he was killed, it said the Christians took his body, buried it, and then mourned it for the same reason that they had compassion for him. But what about non-Christians? Should we honor them? Yeah, it's okay to honor them. It's okay to give respect to them too. But it's also not okay to give those false hope. Maybe a funeral is not the best place to do that. In fact, I would say the funeral is not the best place to say that. Or your person's not going to heaven because they didn't believe in God. But I wouldn't lie to them either. What should we do with our bodies when we die? What happens to our bodies when we die? Well, they're going to decay, but it is also okay to take care of those things as well. The Jews and Muslim cultures, they put that body in the ground almost straight away, within a few days. It has to be very, very quick. But when we look at examples of bodies being honored in the dead, most of them are cultural. I listed two here. If you want to look those up on your own, I'll leave that up to you. But it was also given intent. The intent was to honor those bodies. But some people feel really uncomfortable with the idea of cremation. Thank you. Please laugh at me. I am okay when you guys laugh at me. It does not bother me in the slightest. Why don't people like this idea? Is this idea wrong? Well, I think there's just something about fire because we associate fire with hell. But that doesn't mean because you're cremated that you're going to, your body is automatically going to go to hell. There's no reference in the Bible this happens. We certainly see examples of this happening in history. It wasn't a practice that the Jews did. I don't see any practice of the Christians doing it. But most of the people don't like it because they think it destroys the resurrected body. I mean, this is God. God turned bones to flesh. I'm pretty sure he can turn dust to bones and bones back to flesh. In fact, how did he make Adam? He made Adam out of what? He made him out of the dust. So, so this is also a really easy thing too. It's okay to have these things. There's nothing wrong with these biblically. But we do understand that life is very much a gift. And this is something I emphasized last week. And the Bible basically says that the taking of life is something we should not do. Mostly I focused on abortion last week, but here I want to talk about the murder aspect. I wrote homicide last week, but homicide is just a general killing, so Ethan corrected me on that. But yes, infanticide and murder are expressly condemned in the Bible, and so what do we do with things that have to do with these things? Our society has three things in particular where these become controversial issues for us. The first one being capital punishment. Is capital punishment okay? Should we as Christians support capital punishment? This, for those of you who don't know, this is the killing of people who commit horrendous crimes in name of the state. And I don't have a good answer for this. The Bible, if you look at Exodus, it says that forgiveness of sins is not forgiveness of consequences, and these people deserve death. But this also goes countercultural to Jesus' teaching of rejecting that retribution theology. Jesus focused heavily on forgiveness, on understanding. It doesn't mean that people shouldn't be punished for their crimes. The question is, how should we as Christians treat it? And because of some other issues that I don't want to go to, I lean more towards no, but feel free to make your case for me. I would love to hear it. What about euthanasia? This one's easy for me because euthanasia is very much murder. Murder is forbidden. We don't see, we see it's condemned in both the Old Testament and New Testament. There's no getting around this just because it's either A, somebody wants to die, or B, we are struggling with resources, does not automatically make this okay. So I don't really, what I think it's a little bit more difficult about this particular issue is what about letting someone die who would die on their own? Maybe a DNR or pulling the plug. That I would say is probably closer to being okay because that has to do with the natural process of life. Yeah, if you can help save them, save them. But if you're just basically keeping them alive where they would not be able to be sustained on their own, well, then that's not necessarily murder. Final one. This one's also a little bit difficult. What about suicide? Is suicide a sin? The Bible does not mention suicide in particular. So, is it a sin? What do you guys think? Yes or no? How many people say yes? Yeah. And I would agree, because suicide is killing. Self-killing is still killing. So, even though the Bible doesn't have to say, in particular, killing yourself, we know that God said, don't murder, and killing yourself is still murder. The question that is difficult here is, do Christians who commit suicide go to heaven? Has anybody ever thought about this before? I've thought about this a lot, and I've studied it, I prepared as much, I looked at Catholic teaching, I looked at Lutheran teaching, I looked at Episcopalian teaching, I looked at early church teachings on this subject, and I tried to find other Churches of Christ teaching, but unfortunately, almost everyone avoided the question that I can find, avoided this particular question. And the Bible doesn't explicitly say this. In fact, when it talks about suicide in general, and these are the six examples it gives, It makes it clear that the act is wrong, but it says nothing about what happens to him afterwards. Samson is mentioned in the cloud of witnesses, so you get the impression that it is that some will, but as I argued with my wife this week, I think it very much depends on the heart. The biggest thing that is going to keep you from God is what? Is yourself. Only you can completely reject your salvation. It's not listed as the unforgivable sin. It's not listed as something you certainly can't have repentance to. And my problem with people who argue that you can't have forgiveness from suicide is that they treat the issue of grace as the old sacrificial system. So maybe it's possible, but I think it definitely comes down towards your heart. And killing is considered to be the most heinous act there is. And I can't imagine anyone being a good heart who's killing another person, even if that other person is themselves. But more importantly, when we talk about the subject of death, there's a subject we really have to talk about, and that is the victory we have over it. I love this verse that Paul writes. Well, he doesn't write. He's quoting it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where he says, "Oh, death, death is followed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Because we know that for us, yeah, it's a little bit scary, but it is not the end." And that is the reason we go and do and we share that message and we say, we do not want you to realize, we want you to realize that death is not the end, but it's the beginning of a new adventure. It is the beginning of life, and it is the beginning of where we get our new bodies. So if you struggle with these issues of death, you struggle with these issues of suicide, and especially suicide, because we would love to help you. If there's anything we can do for you in that particular issue, please let us know, even if you don't want to come forward, because we want to get you the help you need, that there is something more important than those issues. It's not about death, but it's about that life, especially the life that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is the reason that we are moving into this particular week where we celebrate the life and the resurrection of the Son. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, feel free to come forward as Jeff leads us in song.